Blog Talk Radio.
And good Tuesday morning from the Blog Talk Radio studios. Jeff Ward's back with another edition of 15 Minutes of Fame. Plenty to talk about today from both sides of the hardwood, as well as a little bit of baseball as we close out today's show. Let's get right into it, though. And if you missed the end, and judging by the crowd last night at AFH, you did miss the last few minutes. Come on, Jayhawk fans. Stay with your team. You're supposed to be one of the premier clubs, one of the premier programs in college basketball, and you leave your game early. Jayhawk fans, you missed a classic to close out last night. Just a terrific game. At one point, the Jayhawks were down 64. They were down 14 points with less than 3 minutes to go. Okay, I get it. I get it. You know, you don't want to see your team, and KU fans aren't used to seeing their team just bludgeoned, just beat the holy tar out of. But man, what a comeback. Jayhawks end up getting this game to overtime thanks to some key three-point shooting and free-throw shooting. They finally get this thing back to overtime, back to a 71-all tie, and then they would take over in the OT. And as we said, get a couple of key three-pointers. Devontae Graham was good last night for the Jayhawks. He ends the game with 18 points, including 5 of 12 from the three-point line, and the Jayhawks pull this thing out against West Virginia, 84-80 in overtime. Again, if you turned off the TV or you left Allen Fieldhouse early, you missed a classic comeback by the Jayhawks last night. And wow, just it shows. I think a lot of people have questioned maybe a little bit if Jayhawk team was as good as their number three ranking. I think there were a lot of question marks with this Kansas team, you know, both just keeping the guys on the court and their performance on the court. I think last night they silenced a lot of doubters. I think they, while doubters were popping up big time during the game, after the game, it was pretty darn quiet. And when you can shut those detractors up, you have done a monumental thing. And again, the Jayhawks do get the 84-80 win over West Virginia last night. Quick rundown of the scores. Frank Mason, 24 points, 16 of those. And what do I say, kids? Make freebies. Make the freebies. 16 of 18 from the charity stripe. If I were to tell you that Frank Mason was going to go 3 of 13 and still be the leading scorer for the Jayhawks, you would say, oh, they got beat tremendously. 16 of 18 from the free throw line. The Jayhawks were at the line 44 times. That's really the difference in this ballgame. They were 33-44 from the free throw line. And as I said, you got to make the freebies. You got to make the shots that take no time off the clock, especially in a tight game. Shots that don't take any time off the clock and still count. You have to make those free throws. And that's exactly what Kansas did last night en route to this 84-80 win. And, you know, I've said this before and I will say it again. This Kansas team reminds me a lot of a bridal scrum where the all of the single women trying to catch the bouquet, and all of them are diving at it, fighting after it, and then someone swoops in there, gets what they need to get done, and gets the bouquet. Well, this year it's the same thing with the Kansas Jayhawks. They fought, they won the games that they needed to, and thanks to a Texas Tech win last night, as well as the Kansas win, thanks to the Texas Tech win against Baylor, the Jayhawks are in prime position right now to take the Big 12 championship. They are in prime position to take that Big 12 championship for the 13th straight year. That's unbelievable. But they are in very good spot to do that once again this year. It's just remarkable what this team has done. And as I said earlier, there have been so many detractors and so many, myself included, have been down on this team saying, can they make anything out of this year after all of the things that have gone on, both on the court and off the court? Can they get by this? Well, last night they proved that they are a talented team, and when their backs are against the wall, they shine. They show up and show up big. And again, Kansas gets their 23rd win of the season, 23-3 overall, 11-2 in the Big 12, their 11th win of the Big 12 year, pretty much. You'd have to assume, unless all just absolutely tears to hell for the Jayhawks, they have won their 13th straight championships. As I said, the Red Raiders of Texas Tech did beat Baylor last night, 84-78. Texas Tech did a very nice job of locking down the big men for Baylor in this game. Jonathan Motley, only 11 points, 4 of 10 shooting for Motley. He has been their offense throughout the last few games, and it just could not get it done last night. Again, only 11 points, and Texas Tech would pull off the big-time upset over the Baylor Bears, 84-78. So the number 4 team in the nation, the Baylor Bears, do go down. The other side of the basketball landscape, it was UConn going for their 100th win last night. The UConn women taking on South Carolina last night in a game that, as big of a game, I should say, as there can be in women's college basketball in February. This thing, I think, was more looked at than most games of the NCAA. And this is no offense to the tournament of the women, but I think this game was much more important than 99% of the women's NCAA tournament. All eyes were on the women of UConn last night, and they pull off their 100th straight win. 100 consecutive wins. They have not lost since 2010. Just think about that. They have not lost since 2013. Imagine what has gone on in your life since 2013. Imagine what has gone on in the world since 2013. Imagine what has gone on in sports since 2013. Just one factoid that I absolutely love out of this entire stretch. Since UConn started their 100-game winning streak, each men's basketball team, each of them, any of them on any of them that suits up and plays a game of basketball in NCAA Division I hoops. Each men's basketball team has lost twice, at least twice. That's remarkable. That is absolutely insane. Any men's basketball team has lost at least two games since UConn started this winning streak. That's incredible. That's just absolutely crazy what they have done. And they continue to roll. They get the 66-55 win over the number 6 South Carolina Gamecocks in this contest. Man, just incredible to see this UConn team. And you have to tip your hat to Gino Auriemma, because he has these teams, no matter who is in his lineup, he has them ready to play each and every night, gets the best recruits, teaches them everything that they need to be a incredible college basketball team, and they just continue to roll. You have to tip your hat. You really have to tip your hat to this UConn team. Some of the stats from this streak: they have had one game tied at halftime. Otherwise, they have taken over. They have had 4 top 2 matchups, most of those against, you would have to assume, the Baylor Bears. So actually, half of those against the Baylor Bears. Just absolutely insane. There are 5 Division I players who have beaten UConn that are current active players. 5 players have beaten UConn. Stanford's Carly Samuelson, Kaylee Johnson, Brianna Roberson, and Erica McCall, all from Stanford, as well as Baylor's Alexis Prince. 5 active players have beaten UConn. That's it. Just absolutely crazy what this UConn team has done. And again, congratulations to Gino Auriemma and that entire UConn team and program. What they have done is just absolutely tremendous. All right, let's move to some baseball. And we need to talk some baseball, because I don't think enough credit is given. Let's just go through the last month in the Kansas City Royals organization. They yesterday signed Seth Maness to a minor league contract, a very talented player. They have done so much in the month of February signing players. Let's just talk about the last month, from January 14th to February 14th. January 14th is where the whole thing started. January 14th, Eric Hosmer signed to a contract. January 16th, Danny Duffy signed to a 5-year contract. 5 years. Then fast forward to the month of February. February 1st, Brandon Moss signed to a 2-year contract. Going to be a heavy, heavy hitters for the Kansas City Royals. February 3rd, Kelvin Herrera, 1-year contract. February 6th, Jason Hamill, the new pitcher from the Chicago Cubs, signed to a 2-year contract. February 8th, they make the trade to acquire Donnie DeWeese from the Chicago Cubs for Alec Mills, a talented outfielder that will be with this Royals team for quite some time. Of course, Alec Mills for assignment after that, and then yesterday, they finish it off, Seth Maness to a minor league contract. So in the last month, they have signed 7 contracts, acquired 2 players, and just have absolutely checked off all of their list. You look at the offseason list for the Kansas City Royals. Get a starting pitcher, check. Get a heavy hitter, check. get a couple of bullpen players. Check, sign your biggest bullpen asset for next year, Kelvin Herrera. Check. What haven't these Royals done in the offseason? And you have to believe, if you are a Royals fan, you have to believe this team is all in for 2017. This team is ready to go in 2017. They hated last year. As much excitement and enjoyment as 2014 and 2015 were for this Royals, 2016 sucked. It just absolutely sucked. It hurt the fans. It hurt the management. It hurt all of the upper brass of the Royals team. Once they got there and then to take a step back, it sucked. And they are trying to prevent that from happening again. And they have done it in a tremendous way. Again, 7 contracts and a couple of very, very nice signings. You have to have so much faith in this team going into 2017. It's unbelievable. They head to spring training. They are already at spring training. And the buzz around this Kansas City team is monumental. It's absolutely monumental. And if you're not ready for Royals baseball, I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what's wrong with you, because it is absolutely going to be the most fun next 8 months that you will ever have. As much fun as 2014 and 2015. And those were great years. As much fun as you have in 2014 and 2015, I think we're in store for maybe even more in 2017. And I'm beyond excited about that. We will talk more about the Royals in the next couple of weeks as spring training rolls on. We'll talk a little bit about what's going on there in Arizona at spring training and kind of keep you updated on what is going on with this Royals team as they get ready for camp and head into the regular season. All right. Really no updates on Coach Bill Snyder. We do wish him the best. However, here from 15 Minutes Fan, we wish him the best with the illness that he is suffering from right now. We hope that he makes a quick recovery. And if anyone knows Bill Snyder at all, you know he's going to make a tremendous fight to come back from this. And can't wait to see him at the spring game, back on the sideline. Just cannot wait for him to make a complete comeback. And, Coach, we are completely behind you. Everyone in it's not even just K-State. Everyone in college football is behind Coach Snyder. Everyone that just even is a college football fan, you know the impact that Bill Snyder has made in college football, and everyone is behind you, Coach. Keep fighting, and we hope to see you at the spring game. We will see you at the spring game. Looking forward to it tremendously. Keep fighting, and best of luck. All right, that is all I have for today's show. I hope everyone has a great Tuesday. Happy Valentine's Day. And we will see you back here tomorrow. Again, we will take a look at some of the things going on in Royals camp, as well as just a whole lot of things going on tonight in college hoops. We will talk about that tomorrow, 8 a.m., blogtalkradio.com/15forfans. Have a great Tuesday. We will see you back here tomorrow with a brand new edition of The Fan.